to see you.
Good to see you,
too. We will be tasting some wine during the next hour.
Wow.
Be meeting some local winemakers and someone from the Press Democrat that are putting on their big annual North Coast Wine Challenge. And you will mention the part that you're going to play in this.
And you, too.
And I will have a supporting background role also, as we did last year. And we want to invite our listeners to stay for the full hour for the show, because during the hour, we are going to be giving away tickets to this always great sold-out event.
Yeah.
So don't decide that you're going to go shopping during the next half hour, because you'll miss your opportunity.
Or something.
So Thursday, you have been teaching at Ramekins over in Sonoma. I think since they opened their door probably 10, 12 years ago, it seems like.
Yeah, even longer ago than that. I was one of the original instructors there, and for some reason they keep asking me back. So,
and you did a class on Thursday.
Yes, I did.
What was that?
It was a class on that we called contemporary seafoods, and you know, there were kind of some out there kind of recipes, but it's a hand that all of the classes they do now are hands-on classes, so the students prepare it, and I think that's so much better, because then they make the mistakes or do whatever they're going to do, but actually get a feel for kind of what's going on, and it's good.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
How many participants did you have? How many students?
20.
And
that's as many as we can do,
That's exciting. Well, I have the menu in front of me. Could you make some comments about these? And
maybe, do a little color commentary.
A little color commentary. And maybe you can select a couple we can put on the KSR on our website, which you think would be good for summer entertainment. The first one up was, well, gee whiz, this is perfect. The 90-degree weather today and tomorrow, Asian shrimp cocktail.
It's a really fun dish. It's served cold. Everything's done ahead of time. And we served it in, which I suggest in the recipe, in little clear martini glasses, you know, so you can sit there and, with your little pinky out and
classy.
And enjoy it. Yeah.
And you do something interesting. You brine them before.
Yeah. So the idea of these classes is hopefully they're recipes that people will like and use when they go back home and all that stuff. But there are always takeaways. You know, what are we doing here that we're going to learn about that will make the food better? And so with this shrimp cocktail, even with shrimp, I brine them. Brining means to put them at its most basic into a saltwater solution for, you know, it can be a shorter period of time as 15 minutes, but it helps, because what that does is it adds flavor, but more importantly, adds moisture. And shrimp are notorious, as we all know, for drying out, you know, getting woody and all of that kind of stuff. So this gives you a little insurance policy so that they stay moist.
And you use fresh lotus root and edamame along with the shrimp cocktail. So how is it presented? How does it
in
go
a
together?
Clear martini glass?
Yeah,
in there. So everything just kind of piled in there in a beautiful way. It has mango and cucumber and cilantro and shiso leaves and
kaffir lime
and kaffir leaves. Lime. If you can get your hands on, I can, because I grow it.
You grow it, don't you? It grows very well here in Santa Rosa.
It does. You just have to. It's a little frost sensitive, so best to grow it in a pot so you can put it up against the house during the winter.
And what's the best shrimp? What do you use for this?
Well, you know, that's a whole discussion about that. You know, I've been involved with the Seafood Watch program for a long time. And the shrimp that you want to do are I think what Monterey Bay Aquarium recommends is just buy American shrimp. And they can be either wild caught or farm raised. But the farm raised shrimp in America are done ethically, you know, without the use of a lot of chemistry and things like that.
And will some markets make sure that it says American grown shrimp or raised shrimp?
Usually they'll identify the wild ones, but they won't identify the farm raised ones, because most of the farm raised shrimp that we get come to us from Southeast Asia, from Vietnam and Thailand and India and places like that. And those are the ones you kind of want to avoid, because there's a lot of chemistry used in there.
Mussels baked with Asian pesto.
Yes, it was an Asian night, huh? So mussels are one of my favorite things in the world. They're cheap. Also, and the takeaway there is that when you cook the mussels, so we'd cook them, open them up, take half the shell off, and then pile this little Asian pesto on top. But the bonus in this recipe is that you get the mussel broth, which is the best fish broth that you'll ever have. And of course, I make everybody take the pledge. Raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I will not, because most recipes, if you have to use a fish broth, they're always recommending that you use bottled clam juice or something. So the pledge is, I will not use or associate with anybody who uses bottled clam juice. It's disgusting.
Okay. So, we hope we've taken the pledge. And that's served with an Asian pesto. Yeah. What makes it Asian?
So it's a pesto-like concoction, but it has cilantro in it, in addition to some basil and some chilies.
A little ginger. And ginger. Lime juice, things of that nature. And then maybe sesame oil.
Yeah.
A little toasted sesame oil.
To give it a bit of a Asian twist.
Asian clam chowder.
Yeah, this is a really simple one, kind of a dump and do one. And it uses both canned clams, which are not so good generally, and fresh ones. But the canned clams give it a little body and all of that stuff. And it's great.
And it's a coconut milk base for that with a little green curry paste.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's about it. Very simple, a little garlic.
Yeah, you can make it in 10 minutes.
And potatoes, of course, in any type of chowder, you have to have potatoes.
Well,
you?
Or you could use any other starchy root vegetable. Sweet potatoes are nice with that.
You include, I think this is your favorite fish of all time, black cod with miso marinade.
Yes, which is a classic recipe, which you simply take white miso, it's called shiro miso, and a little bit of sugar and sake, and make a marinade out of it and slip the black cod into it and leave it in there for a couple of hours. Then take it out and cook it, and it's so delicious.
Is black cod seasonal, or is it available year-round?
No, the answer is yes, it's seasonal. It's a fish that's caught off the our coast, our west coast, but it moves up and down the coast from California up to Alaska and the Bering Sea. But you can always get it frozen, and it's every bit as good frozen. Every bit as good frozen as it is fresh.
Okay, that's good to know. There's seared day boat scallops with apples and vanilla sauce. And scallops are a mystery to me, too.
Why?
Because I don't quite know how to cook them. They always...
Don't overcook them.
Maybe that's what I'm doing.
And the other takeaway there is always get what are called either day boat or dry pack scallops. These are scallops that haven't been put in this awful solution called tripolyphosphate, which when you see scallops that are really white, you know, in color because everybody thinks they should be white, well, real scallops aren't. They're kind of pinkish, brownish, all of that. And so if you see them, that's what you want. And they also haven't been put in this brine solution to both preserve them and bleach them.
Okay.
So if you're going to buy scallops in the market, go to your local fish guy and say, hey, I'm going to have scallops next Saturday. Get me a couple of pounds of those dry pack or day boat scallops.
Plan ahead. And then grilled salmon is our final recipe with, of course, the symbolic dressing of San Francisco.
Exactly. Named after a play by George Arliss in 1922 at the Palace Hotel, The Green Goddess Dressing.
And how's that done? Just basically, you just throw the grill?
You can throw it on the grill. And we didn't even grill it because there's the concern that sometimes it sticks to the grill. So we just seared it on one side, turned it over, and then put it into a hot oven.
Couldn't be simpler.
Yeah.
So why don't we put a couple of these on the KS Arnold website this afternoon?
Okay.
Your choice.
Let's do the salmon because that's a favorite of everybody. And the Green Goddess dressing is great, both on the salmon and on anything else that you want to put it on. It's fantastic. And, I don't know.
You think about it during this break.
Okay. We'll do the clam chowder.
You want to do clam chowder?
Yeah.
Clam chowder and salmon, that'll go up on the KS Arnold Good Food Hour website by this afternoon. Yeah. We'll take a break and we'll come back. And I'm thirsty. I think there's a gentleman in the KS Arnold Kitchen that can help us take care of my thirst as we welcome the Press Democrat and talk about the 6th Annual North Coast Wine Challenge. Steve Garner and John Ash in the KS Arnold Kitchen.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Digital Pro Kim Commando, and I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market this spring, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503. 707-322-8503.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts at Nature's Spirit Garden and La Vida Buena Nursery. Savor farm fresh eggs, delicious cheeses and produce like fresh strawberries, avocados, hothouse tomatoes, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. The best choices for food vendors include Minhee Hill's authentic Korean cuisine and La Ta Indian cuisine. They've returned with their exotic dishes, and Eli's Kitchen provides fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Starting Friday, June 1st, get to Party on the Plaza music series at the Rohnert Park Farmers Market. 14 weeks of a great Friday after work party, including a certified farmers market, food and craft booths, beer and wine, and live music. You'll hear 80s, classic rock, country, blues, Motown, oldies, and a tribute to the Fab Four with Beatles Flashback. It's all in City Center Plaza, just off the intersection of State Farm Drive and Rohnert Park Expressway. Sponsored by Paradise Pet Resorts in Rohnert Park and Santa Rosa, offering doggy daycare, grooming, dog, cat, and small animal boarding, and the only splash dog pool in the North Bay. Open till 7 p.m. every day of the year. No one loves your pets like you do, but nobody cares for your pets like they do at Paradise Pet Resort. So come party on the plaza at the Rohnert Park Farmers Market Fridays 5 to 8 starting June 1st. Info on the Party on the Plaza Facebook page.
It's Paradise. Paradise Pet Resort.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
We hope you'll be able to stick around with us during the whole hour. We're going to give away some tickets to the 6th annual Press Democrats annual North Coast Wine Challenge. It's happening next Sunday at the Somo Village. Saturday. That's June 9th from 1 to 4 p.m. John Ash, one of the featured chefs, actually the only one that's actually doing a demo. We'll talk about what John will be
demoing.
Well,
it's more than a demo. It's a learning experience.
It's an interactive experience with the participants.
That's right.
Ginger Hopkins from the Press Democrat is here. Thanks for coming in, Ginger. This is really great to see you again in 6 years. Is that right? Is it 6 years that's happening right now at the... at the Somo Village?
It is. This is our 6th year. It's the 3rd year at Somo Village. We moved around for the first couple years, and we feature the best wines or the wines that have won medals at the North Coast Wine Challenge. So we've renamed the event actually a food and wine festival because the food is as exceptional as the wine.
How many chefs are participating this year?
We have about 22. And
I remember the first year there were like 4 or 5 or 6 or something.
Yeah, the year that I came in there was about 9. Uh-huh. And we have chefs that don't do these events anymore. And they love this event because the quality of wines and that the actual wine owners and winemakers actually come to the event and that people really appreciate the food. We don't sell so many tickets that it's crowded and that you can really talk to the chefs and learn about their restaurants. And they love the Press Democrat. That's the other thing, too, is they're very loyal.
It's a beautiful place. And I think a lot of people still, I was one of those when I participated with you a year or so ago, I didn't even know that place existed out there. And it's one of the most beautiful venues.
And it's gotten even better.
Yeah.
So they have just stepped up their game and put in a beautiful redwood deck that's made with 100-year reclaimed wood from a polo field. And they've put in beautiful fire pits and these gorgeous benches. And
I know you'll mention it again, but where is it?
Somo Village is actually off of Petaluma Hill Road, and it's between Rohnert Park and Cotati. It's on the back side of Rohnert Park, that beautiful side of rolling hills, right down from the Green Music Center.
And very easy to find.
Easy to get to. Great parking.
So we have over 20 chefs participating. How many wineries will be pouring?
We have about 76 wineries pouring and probably over 100 different wines that are being featured.
Best way to get tickets is online?
Best way to get tickets is online. It's northcoastwineandfood.com.
northcoastfoodandwine.com.
Yep. Actually, wineandfood.com. So okay. It's the wine. It's northcoastwineandfood.com.
So that's where you get tickets. And I know that you cap them, and once they're sold out, they're sold out.
Exactly.
It's rare. Don't expect to get tickets at the door because
right.
It's not usually
we really
what
happens. Want to be sold out. So, yeah.
Oh, so we have a couple of the winemakers here that have won some big, fat awards. We have Jim Ricards, who is 2017 Alexander Valley Croft Vineyard Sauvignon Blanc. One Best of Show White. Jim, thanks for coming in.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
This is great. Your winery is located in the northern tip of Alexander Valley, isn't
right.
it?
Right. A couple miles north of Geyserville, actually.
Well, over there on Chianti Lane, is it?
On Chianti Road, yeah.
Chianti Road. And, you know, it's funny. I think I say, oh, John, I'm so excited about having this wine. And, John, you're saying, oh, yeah, this is one of my favorite Sauvignon Blancs. Isn't that what you told me?
Yeah. Well, we were, before the show, we were talking about how we first met. And it was at this event that I do each year at Dry Creek Peach. We do this dinner out in the orchard and all that stuff. And
gorgeous time.
Yeah, it's really fun. And you came and served the wine, the Sauvignon Blanc,
yep.
which is, and that was my first introduction to it. It is so delicious. We were talking, what makes it different? Well, you know, Sauvignon Blanc, you think about grapefruit and lemon lime, and but this is so elegant and has.
Well, I think that it's the vineyard that counts in this case. It's a very unusual spot to grow Sauvignon Blanc. Typically, Sauvignon Blanc is your basic flatland grape. It's typically down by the river where it's cool and it ripens down there. In this case, this vineyard was planted on a ridgetop at about 850 feet of elevation in the southern part of the valley. And one would think at that elevation you get all kinds of heat, but you do up to a point. And when the fog comes in, it looks like the Marin Headlands, because it's in this notch where the fog coming up the Russian River feeds into the Alexander Valley. And honestly, I've been there where it's been 100 degrees at 3 o'clock and 50 degrees at 5, and wondering where my jacket is.
Mm. Well, it's really sensational. We just had a chance to sip some of this. And this one, best wine, the white wine at the festival. How long have you been growing grapes in that area?
I've been growing grapes since 1976.
In that area, in the Alexander Valley?
Yeah.
You were the only person there. There wasn't anybody else there, was there?
No, Mr. Pastore was there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And when did you start growing Sauvignon Blanc?
Well, I don't grow it. I get this from a good neighbor, a friend of mine. I'm a little bit too hot for that.
Okay.
You know, I've been growing just mostly the big reds there. Originally planted there was an old vineyard that was planted in 1908.
What were they growing in that?
Well, that's the old field blend, the Zinfandel field blend.
Yeah.
That's Giuseppe's, I think they call it.
Well, the thing is consider that, have you ever heard of the place called the Segazio Home Ranch?
Mm-hmm. Sure, that's what
they're my neighbors.
All right. Yeah.
So that area is a really old area.
And field blends were, it was a whole bunch of different grapes that you would get, Carignan.
And Alicante Boucher and all these wild
ones. Yeah, in this vineyard, consider it. Well, you think about this field blend, you're thinking, okay, 1908. Well, you're not thinking that was before the Industrial Revolution. They had no pumps. They had no way to blend wines. Yet they still needed to make blended wines to sell like we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they had an eloquent solution to that problem, and that is plant all the different grapes all together that they would want in the final blend, all mixed up. Mm-hmm. So as you pick the vineyard, you get the blend. In this case, it was the Brignoli family that planted it, Rosa Brignoli, mm-hmm. and it was 75% Zin, 10% Petit Sirah, 7% Carignan, 2% Mataro, 1% Alicante Boucher, Muscat Canale, and Chalices.
Unbelievable blend. We're tasting the 2017 Alexander Valley Croft Vineyard Sauvignon Blanc that won Best White Wine of the North Coast Wine Challenge. Does this have, is it 100% Sauvignon Blanc? Anything else?
No, it's not. We typically like to round it out with about 4% Semillon.
Oh.
So it's usually that, but that varies from time to time.
So it's kind of a little Bordeaux blend in a sense.
Traditional style.
Yeah.
The goal there is Semillon has this big lush plush finish that is so nice, and adding just a little bit of that doesn't change the characteristic of the Sauvignon Blanc so much as it adds that kind of mouthfeel, that mm-hmm. plushness that extends the palate so nicely.
When did you start the winery itself?
The commercial winery started in 2005. Mm-hmm. I started making wine in 91. I grow grapes. I'm still a commercial grape grower in a sense. We pick about 150 tons of grapes. I sell half to other wineries yet. In 91, my wife says to me, she says, well, if you're growing the best grapes in the world, how do you know unless you make wine? And then she did something that every man in the world knows. What happens next, she's put her hands on her hips. And and it was a done deal. And so we started making wine as an amateur in 91. In 2005, we started opening up the winery.
That's really great. Do you have a tasting room?
We do. Yep.
Right on Chianti?
Yeah, right on Chianti Road at the vineyard and at the winery. And we always like to get people outside. I mean, for me, I'm a grape grower. It's about the grapes.
And so if people go to your website during or after the show, are they going to see this wine for sale on the website?
Actually, we thought it would be special to hold it and release it publicly for the event.
Oh.
Next week. And so that people could actually chase it and come up and see us. But that was what we were trying to do.
Oh, it's really great. Deborah DeFiorentino, who actually organized the whole wine tasting, she couldn't be with us today, but she did send me an email answering some of my questions. Let me just run over a few of these. The varietal with the most entries was Pinot Noir. And Eric is with us from Kokomo. Hi, Eric. Thanks.
Hello.
Not to slight you and not introduce you, but Pinot Noir becoming very competitive. It seems like all the wineries are jumping on and certainly adding more and more Pinot Noir. Second was Chardonnay. We saw many more unoaked Chardonnays, the biggest percentage than in previous years. The big buttery types are starting to slow down, which makes you happy too.
It does.
We saw the rosé shoot to the top as far as percentages of a new category. She seems like all the wineries are jumping on that rosé bandwagon. Rosés are no longer an afterthought, but rather a varietal that stands on its own. The second biggest increase over the past years was the other white varietals, which was really encouraging. Mm-hmm. Albarinos, Pinot Blanc, Rieslings, Roussans, Vermentino, Chenin Blanc, Viognier. That's a good sign, isn't it, that people are branching out?
It's a great sign because there's such a world of flavor and all of that and style out there. Why not?
One of the Rieslings had won a gold. The tasting notes on the Press Democrat website, it said, quote, millennials will love it.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I was going to ask who wrote these notes. I thought that was a really great comment.
Because it's expensive, maybe. Huh?
And by the way, the judges wrote those notes.
Yeah,
the judges,
did they? So maybe why do you think millennials would love this one?
You guys can weigh into it. I don't know. No one knows. Yeah. There were over 1,025 entries. That's a lot of wine to judge. There were 28 judges, the best of the best. They also had 9 associate judges. They're picked from recommendations from their own peers. These are younger professionals coming up in the wine industry that helped judge. And there were approximately 22% of the wines won gold medals. Pretty good. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll taste. How about one of your rosés, Eric?
Is that okay? Perfect.
Rosé. Live and direct from Kokomo, Indiana, a place that I've had the pleasure of visiting.
You know where that's at.
I certainly know. I'm an old Indiana University guy from Bloomington.
So. Purdue.
I'm a Purdue grad.
Are you really?
Yes.
Oh, well, how about that?
We're going to have some serious Hoosier infighting here when we come back. Steve Garner and John Ash in the KSRO kitchen. Stick around. Two of you will be winning tickets to this one-of-a-kind wine event happening next Saturday here in Sonoma County.
FM News Talk Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
E.T. Home Phone.
E.T. Phone Home. E.T. Phone Home.
The Alexander Valley Film Society brings back the drive-in movie with a screening of E.T. the Extraterrestrial, Saturday, June 9th at the Citrus Fairgrounds in Cloverdale. Enjoy an authentic drive-in experience complete with a jumbo screen, local food and wine, and country surroundings. Proceeds will support the Alexander Valley Film Society's educational and cultural programs. Car tickets are $40. Bring your own chair and buy an individual ticket for just $15. Families, foodies, film fans, and supporters of the Alexander Valley Film Society will enjoy local food and drinks from Pix Drive In, Falafel Fix, Fruity Moto, and Flower Girl, plus Bear Republic and Cloverdale Ale and Wine from the AVFS cellar. Get to the drive-in Saturday, June 9th for E.T. Doors at 6:30, movie at 8:15, Cloverdale Citrus Fairgrounds. Tickets online at avfilmsociety.org. Brought to you by Karma Dog Construction and Jane and Ron Pavelka from Pacific Union International.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI. Because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com, brought to you by AbbVie.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts at Nature's Spirit Garden and La Vida Buena Nursery. Savor farm-fresh eggs, delicious cheeses and produce, like fresh strawberries, avocados, hothouse tomatoes, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. The best choices for food vendors include Minhee Hill's authentic Korean cuisine and La Ta Indian cuisine. They've returned with their exotic dishes, and Eli's Kitchen provides fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny and warmer temperatures for the next couple of days. Today, topping out at 88, 68 on the coast. Clear skies tonight, low 52 inland and on the shores. Sunny for Sunday at 87, 70 in Bodega Bay. Monday, blue skies at 84, 68 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
A lot of wonderful guests in the KS Arnold Kitchen today. I'm Steve Garner, along with my co-host, Chef John Ash. And we're speaking to Ginger Hopkins from the Press Democrat about the 6th Annual North Coast Wine Challenge. It's next Saturday, 1 to 4 p.m. at Somo Village. That's just south of Sonoma State University in Cotati and Rohnert Park. some 75-plus wineries, 20-plus chefs, and we have a couple of the sweepstakes winners in the KS Arto kitchen today to taste some great wines. You will be doing an event. You're the Mr. Event. Well, you're the featured chef next
So next we did this last year. It was Ginger's idea. She said, you know, it's fun to have people come and just taste food and all that stuff. I said, been there, done that, you know. I'm tired of doing
and
that.
And people are tired of demos, too.
Yeah, they
are.
They
want to participate.
They want to do something. So last year we did, for the first time.
There you are.
Yeah. Oh, there's my picture. Yes, we did a hands-on pizza on the grill thing, and people were just went nuts. I think we made
400 plus pizzas.
Something like that, or it felt like 1,500. but people would roll out the pizza, and you go, and the trick is, and again, it's this learning experience, is you go straight to the grill. There's no stones. There's none of that kind of stuff, but you throw it on, and they had such a good time.
So following in the success of that last year, what are you doing this year?
We're not grilling pizza this year. that was something else. This year, we're going to make Southeast Asian spring rolls, and so people are going to roll up rice papers and fill them with all kinds of stuff and then go off and, you know, get some wonderful dipping sauces and things like that. But they're actually going to make their own, which it's actually an easy process. But if you've never done it, it can be a little intimidating, you know, when you kind of see it done. But we're lucky because we're doing this in conjunction with Ceres.
Right.
And Ceres will have all of their kids there, the ones who are cooks and chefs at Ceres. And Ginger, do you want to talk a little bit about Ceres?
Well,
we're
happy to partner with them. They're a great organization, and they really train youth to have culinary skills, and then send them out, and then they deliver all these meals, healing meals, to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So it was a perfect fit for us to partner with them and to support you.
Yeah.
And they're very excited about being there, and all the students are going to be there, and I'm excited about all the students working with you.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be life-changing.
It should be fun. And they'll you know, because I can't do it all myself, they'll be in charge.
Uh-huh.
You know, get that.
Yes, chef.
That's right.
And the Ceres Community Project, there's a great article, if you want to Google it, in the New York Times that came out in May that is a really terrific article about Ceres. They help nurture critically ill local folks here in Sonoma and Marin, and also there are an empowerment program for teens to learn how to cook and interact socially, and they do so much good work. They're based over in Sebastopol.
Mm-hmm. They have another kitchen now, you know, so they're expanding, and it looks like they're going to be expanding other places in the country too.
This is just great.
But they have
news.
A Santa Rosa kitchen.
So you can feel that part of your donation for the North Coast Wine Challenge is going directly to help the good work that Ceres does.
Yeah.
So, Eric, you've brought in a rosé for us from Kokomo.
I did.
Not from Kokomo, Indiana, but from Kokomo Winery, which is located where?
Right on the east bench of Dry Creek, in Dry Creek Road.
And it's the old Timbercrest Farms, is that right?
And it's still Timbercrest Farms, yep. But it's they had the dried fruit processing facility there for so long. So the Walton Spills still own the place and grow 120 acres of grapes there. So,
wow. You received the first 100-point wine score in the history of the North Coast Wine Challenge.
Wow. I was blown away. You know, what are you going to say? I got a lot of prods from my fellow winemakers. Mr. 100 points. You know, so, but it was really amazing. You know, when I got that news, it was okay, where do we go from here?
Well, before we go on to the Pinot, tell us about the rosé. We're going to taste some of that.
So, you know, the rosé kind of has a long history in this competition. The very first competition, you know, the North Coast Wine Competition, we got the best, wine of the show, which was tied with two other wines. But it was our rosé, which was amazing. That was, 7 years ago. And for a rosé to take the top nod was like, wow, you know. So that was kind of the start of the thing. But in years past, I think we've got a couple other best of class on the rosé. So it's been done very well in the competition for us. And that kind of kicked off our rosé program. So we've since...
So rosés have become obviously much more popular. They're more than just summertime wines now. People drink them all year round. And what sets yours apart? What do you think?
You know, I think part of it's a dedicated, you know, it's a category, not a varietal, right? Our varietal happens to be Grenache, which I think is part of that because that's the traditional Provence grape mm-hmm. that you would use there for rosé, but we farm it for rosé. We pick it for rosé. It's not a side. It's not an afterthought, as many people are doing now. I started doing that in 2008. I think I was just ahead of the curve. But when we first came out with this rosé, it was this color, the color it is now. And people were like, "Whoa, what is this? This is rosé. I expect it to be pink, you know." And it's like it's this very light salmon color. But I think people realize that it was something different. Then when they put it in their mouth, they're, "Well, it's dry." Yeah, well, rosés are dry typically, you know. So. But yeah, I think it's just part of the dedication to the category as far as the way we make it. And I've changed it a bit. Same grape, same vineyard. Another thing unique about this rosé, which is the same rosé I've been doing, you know, since that first North Coast wine competition, it's a vineyard designate. And I'm one of few people that would do a vineyard designate rosé, I think. So,
are the grapes grown in Dry Creek for this?
Yeah, right across the street from the winery. Yeah, Pauline's Vineyard, which is... my partner in the winery, very important to mention, is a fourth-generation grape grower. His name's Randy Peters, and his late mother was Pauline, and he grew up right there and started working at Timbercrest.
He's been working this same property for 40 years, hasn't he?
Four generations and 40 years, yeah, yep, yep. So.
And he's your partner in Kokomo Winery, and also the vineyard manager, and oversees all the vineyard properties, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Yep.
So how did Kokomo Winery get its name?
Thank you, John. Thank you. You know, well, it just so happens to be that I get a lot of these stories after I tell people where I got the name. So the name of my hometown, Kokomo, Indiana, born and raised there. And as we sit in this studio, we have two folks that went to college in Indiana. And you just hear these stories. But a little town, it's funny when I get people that come in the winery from Indiana, I go, "Can you believe that I named this Kokomo after," because they know Kokomo. And I'm proud of my hometown, but very blue-collar town. It's not one that's like, you know, but the name is
unique.
It's
not a rosé drinking town.
It's not a rosé drink yet. I don't, you know, but it's, you know, one of those classic Midwest towns, you know, blue-collar and great place to grow up in that, with the name that's memorable because of this Beach Boys song, I think. I don't know. So I get a lot about that as well.
Well, it's just a wonderful wine, very refreshing. And this is the... is 100% Grenache, did you say?
This is 100% Grenache, yeah. All from Pauline's.
Just beautiful. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and then we'll move on to the Pinot Noir. How about that? Is that okay with everybody? That sounds good.
Yes,
and you know, we should probably put up your spring roll recipe on the KSR website maybe next week or so.
Yeah, after the event.
After the event.
Yeah.
Are you going to have the recipe at the tasting for people to take home, or will there be a recipe? Do you need a recipe?
I think we'll probably put it on the website because it's hard to make copies and, you know, and people, they forget them and it creates a mess. So, but there'll be ways that you can get it.
Eric Hall from Kokomo and Jim Ricards from Jim Ricards Winery up in Cloverdale, Alexander Valley, Sauvignon Blanc, Rosé, and we'll taste some Pinot. Ginger Hopkins from the Press Democrat, Chef John Ashenby, Steve Gardner in the KSRO kitchen.
Traffic on the fives and weather six times an hour, mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
Creams Towing, this is Arlene.
You know Creams Towing for cars, but Creams Towing can handle even the biggest jobs. Need a motorhome towed? Call Creams. Are you a rancher that needs large equipment moved? Tractors or horse transport trailers are no problem for Creams Towing.
Just call Arlene at Creams, 588-1250. Creams Towing, this is Arlene. With competitive rates and certified Class A drivers, Creams can tow 24/7. They can handle rollovers, heavy-duty accident recovery, and winch out.
Are you a Class A driver looking for a great company to work for? Interested in learning the towing business? Creams is expanding and wants to add several drivers. With the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty transport vehicles in the area, including a state-of-the-art 50-ton wrecker, you'll learn from the best. Openings for Class A and C. Creams will teach the right candidates.
Be a hero on the highway. Call Creams, 588-1250.
The public-private education collaboration that has entertained and energized Sonoma County with world-renowned speakers like Sir Ken Robinson and Dr. Sugata Mitra now brings you Todd Rose, director of the Mind, Brain, and Education Program at the Harvard Graduate School of Education and co-founder of Populous, a nonprofit organization that promotes the principles of individuality in work, school, and society. His talks on the power of individuality have been featured at South by Southwest EDU, TEDx, Google, the Aspen Ideas Festival, and Apple. Prepare to be inspired by his presentation, The Myth of Average, Friday morning, June 8th, in the Jackson Theater at Sonoma Country Day School. For ticket and event information, please visit iesonoma.org. The event is brought to you by IE Sonoma, a collaboration between the Sonoma County Office of Education, Sonoma State University, and Sonoma Country Day School. For tickets and details, visit iesonoma.org.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, Steve Gardner along with Chef John Ash, Ginger Hopkins from the Press Democrat. We have Mr. Ricard from Ricard's Winery tasting a Sauvignon Blanc. And I must correct myself. I said Eric Hall, who's another wonderful winemaker in Sonoma County. This is Eric Miller and Kokomo, Indiana native. And that's his winery. He's Kokomo. So I apologize for putting another last name on your different. I was mentioning off air that my daughter-in-law has just experienced her first rosé experience. We talked over the weekend, and she lives back in the Midwest, and she was at a restaurant, and the wine person said, hey, have you tried rosé? And she said, no. She was there with my son, and they brought her out a can of rosé, and she said, I loved it. It was sweet and sparkly, and she said, I'll drink this again, because she usually drinks Cabernet and Merlot, and she thought it was just sensational. So we're talking about different styles of rosé. It's certainly a gateway type of wine that I think people can enjoy that aren't ready for high alcohol reds or wines. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, and it's a very serious style as well. You know, great food wine, and it's so cool that that now folks are gravitating and open up their palate to that. And you would say millennial, and you would think maybe that they would like something sweet. What I found too, a lot of the millennials like some of the very geeky things that are, you know, slightly oxidized or, you know, orange wines, skin fermented whites, and they're very, you know, they'll try a lot of new things. So, but yeah, rosé is definitely one that, you know, people will say, oh, traditionally it goes great with turkey, Thanksgiving, you know, but what I always say too to my compadres back in the Midwest, I say, you know, a nice crisp rosé will cut through the humidity of the summer like nothing else. You know, we call them porch pounders, but you know, but no, it's and a great food wine alike, but yeah, it's been amazing what the category has experienced.
So would you describe this as fruity?
My rosé, no, crisp, no, clean, crisp minerality. It's got that finish with some, you know, a little bit of watermelon, wild strawberry. Kind of. I always say it's kind of like a watermelon as you get close to the rind. You know, it's getting more of that, less of that deep fruit and more, a little more of that minerality. So
I'm going to pour you some Pinot Noir, John Ash.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Or Eric can pour it for you.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
What would pair well with your spring rolls? Would rosé, would Sauvignon Blanc?
Actually, rosé would be pretty nice because it's because I think of the thing that you just described. It has this cleanliness and this, it'll cut through the, you know, I always think about, I shouldn't say this, but I always think about rosé and barbecue, you know, is one of the great combinations.
It starts the barbecue, right? It's the rosé while you're barbecuing. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It works the whole day long. But yeah, typically for dishes like these spring rolls and things like that, which have sugar in them, the sugars in the sauce, which is one of the typical ingredients in Southeast Asian food, need to be a little careful because the sugar will, with dry wines, make them drier, you know, kind of dry them out even more. So if you can find a wine that has a little bit of residual sugar, not a sweet wine, but a wine that has a little bit of residual sugar, it tends to work better. So you know, and they're out there, you know, and you typically think of things like Rieslings and Gewurztraminers. Mm-hmm. Chenin Blanc often has, although you might not taste it up front, it'll have a little bit of residual sugar in the back.
We'll take a break at that point. We'll come back, and we're going to give away two pair of tickets to the 6th Annual North Coast Wine Challenge, the Press Democrat's big tasting event next Saturday, 1 to 4 p.m. at Somo Village in the Rohnert Park, Cotati area. These are great. You can go online and get tickets. They will sell out this week, so I would suggest you do that this weekend. Over 20 chefs, and also all the chefs and their menus, what they're going to be offering, their tastings, is online, as is all of the wineries and all the wines that will be poured.
And the wait till you see it. You'll start salivating right now.
So stick around. In the next few minutes, we'll be giving away those tickets, and we're going to come back and taste Kokomo's award-winning 100-point Pinot Noir.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
If you're selling a home in Sonoma County, you know the fires have changed everything. It's more important than ever to have an agent who really knows the market. That's why you should call Mike Kelly.
It's a different landscape these days. You're dealing with insurance companies, lawyers, inspectors. I can help you get through all of this stuff and sell your home the right way with less hassle.
If you've been affected by the fires, you need the Mike Kelly difference. Let Mike use his Sonoma County resources and connections to get you through all the obstacles and his market knowledge to help you set the right price.
There'll be a lot of homes coming on the market this spring, so now's the time to list yours. Show me your home and I'll show you three quick and easy tips to maximize the return on your investment, even if you don't use me.
If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Find Mike at MikeKelly.com or call Mike at 707-322-8503. 707-322-8503.
I'm Dane Lobb. I'm a public safety specialist with PG&E. If you're in your home or business and you smell gas, your first step is to get out. Travel to a safe distance until you can't smell the gas anymore, and then call 911. The first responders will come out, and they'll make it safe for you and your community.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
In the KSRO kitchen, Steve Garner, John Ash, and guests, winemakers, Ginger Hopkins from the Press Democrat. So, Eric, this Pinot Noir we're about to taste, the first 100-point awarded winery at this competition, the 2016 Gopher Hills Block Peters Vineyard. Where's Gopher Hill? What is it?
Yeah, it's, you
made that up.
So Randy Peters, my partner in the winery, you know, he not only farms where he's, born and raised at in Dry Creek, but he has this vineyard out in southwest Sebastopol that he calls Peters Vineyard. Just an outstanding site to grow Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, 8 miles off the coast. It's in what we call Sebastopol Hills area, which is in that famous Gold Ridge, Sandy Loam, and, very coastal. So he has a 38-acre vineyard there, and he has this block that he calls the Gopher Block. He just called it all Gopher Block, and I'm like, where'd he get the name Gopher Block? Well, his biggest challenge out there are these little varmints in the sand, these gophers, and it's so I kind of decided to do this. And I think our first Gopher Hill block was 2008, and it's a block desert. The only Pinots I make are out of Peter's Vineyard, but I do a reserve one as well, which spends a little bit more time in oak and a little bit more new oak. That's my winemaker's reserve. And then I do this Gopher Hill block, which is, only 11 months in oak and a little less new oak. And
And how many different Pinots do you make?
Just the two. Just the two, both from Peter's Vineyard. Okay. Yes. So.
What do you think? It's spectacular.
Yes.
Isn't very nice wine. Very nice.
We're just shaking our heads how delicious it is, how explosive it is, and not overdone, not overly extracted, which is my pet peeve for a lot of Pinot Noirs.
So, I shouldn't say I hate to ask the question. So what does this go for?
Gopher.
Oh, that was a joke.
we sell this for $42 a bottle.
That's a bargain.
We had it available.
It is sold out at this point?
Yes, it is, unfortunately.
But you'll be able to taste it next Saturday at the Press Democrat tasting.
Exactly.
I saved enough back where everyone will be able to get a taste that shows up to the event, for sure.
This is good. Well, people are anxiously waiting to win some tickets. So, Jim, I'm going to ask you for your favorite number today between 1 and 12.
7.
Lucky caller number 7 at 636-1350 will win a pair of tickets to this sure-to-be-sold-out event next Saturday. Caller number 7. And your favorite number, Eric, between 1 and 12?
You know, I'll go with number 2.
Caller number 2 at 636-13. Oh, you're a rebel.
You know, I've got a 2-year-old, you know. I just, for now, it's 2, yeah.
No one has ever said 2.
No.
Caller number 2 at 636-1350 will also win a pair of tickets to this going to be spectacular event next Saturday. How about that? That sound good?
Yeah.
Do you want to taste any?
Well, I just want to say Steve Garner is going to be there to help me, giving color commentary, you know, kind of ragging on people about the shape of their spring rolls and things like that.
It was so much fun being the color commentator last week for Evelyn's kids that did the
last
pizza last
year.
Week.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. I was hoping to come back and do this again. So
yeah.
I will be assisting people and also corralling people to come in and roll their own.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you look on the website, it says Cooking with John Ash, hosted by John Ash, celebrity chef, teacher, author, and co-host of KSRO's Good Food Hour, interactive food experience involving John and his friends. That sounds really great. And it was a ball. People came up and said they're so glad that you did this. Because as you were saying, there's demos galore, and those are all wonderful. But to get in and hands-on an event like this is pretty unique.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and there's nothing. If yours doesn't turn out, it's okay. It's perfectly fine.
It is perfect. How do you keep? Are you going to need to worry about the wrappers drying out? That's my problem.
Should I give you the secret? Spray bottles.
Are you going to have spray bottles?
Yeah. So you moisten them by spraying them, and then if they begin to dry out too much, you could give them another little spritz.
Is that all there is to it?
Yeah.
Oh, do you use paper towels or kitchen towels to cover them?
No.
I try to make it so much more complicated than
it really is. It's like grilling pizza. It's such a simple process. And this is, too, once you see it done. And once you do it yourself, it's like, whoa. And you can put anything in there. It doesn't have to be Asian ingredients. It could be.
Okay.
You can make an Italian one.
Easy. So you have a tasting room, too. Is that correct, Eric?
I do.
And when is that open?
We're open every day from 11 to 4:30. And it's up at the winery there on 4791 Dry Creek Road.
Just down the road a bit from Dry Creek Peach and Produce, isn't it? Mm. Pretty close.
Right on Dry Creek Road. So it's an amazing location. I'm just so fortunate. You know, I mean, people always ask me my story. How did you get from Kokomo, Indiana out here? I'm always like, well, I drove. But, you know, but it's just so amazing that I'm able to, you know, make wine at this great facility and have our tasting room open.
And your winery started, 2000?
2004 I started it. But I didn't open up the tasting room there until 2008. It's been a heck of a ride.
And Jim, you opened Rickard's on 2005.
2005, yeah.
And that was a tasting room also?
Yep, tasting room. Only thing, we're not open on Sundays, mostly because I live there and I needed a day off. No.
So Monday through Saturday.
Monday through Saturday.
Okay.
And I might add also, we've decided to actually do the release date for our Sauv Blanc next week.
Oh.
For the grand... the big show.
Okay. Well, this will be really exciting. We encourage our listeners to attend the event. With the website, again, the best place to get tickets, Ginger?
Is northcoastwineandfood.com.
Okay. I'll see you next week, Ginger. I'll see you next Saturday. No, I won't. I'll see you at the event next
You'll
Saturday,
You'll see me at
John.
The event, yeah.
You won't be here.
Yeah.
I'll see you, Jim,
hopefully
next week. And Eric, I'll see you next week.
Absolutely.
Thanks to both of you guys for coming in with these beautiful wines. Stick around. Clark Wolf at the table following the news and then on the wine road with Jeff Davis. Great listening coming up on KSRO. And we'll be back with Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour next Saturday. Steve Garner, thanking you for listening and supporting the show.